Our scripture is from Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And the promise is so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Great promise. May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and to our hearing of it. I really miss being here last Sunday. I hear some of you missed me too. And I had planned to be here up till about 7 o'clock Saturday night, and then things changed a bit. Late calls that evening from me to Laura and Effie that day prior to Mother's Day created a challenge for them, but as usual, they were more than able to meet that challenge and beat it. Now, Laura said she wasn't sure whether you wanted to hear her this day or me, but she decided that you wanted this, so I'm going to give it to you. But when I called them and told them what the need was and how I was trying to figure out what we were going to do with it, they said, you know, don't worry, Pastor, we'll take care of it. And of course they did. Now, there are some of you who come in from Washington State and other places like that, St. Louis, various places. And you maybe don't know that I was released from the emergency room just shortly after midnight last Sunday as we ushered in Mother's Day. Ann Sue then ushered me home with some pain medication. And from all reports, because I did ask, I hear that y'all had a very good morning worship service. And I just want to ask something of you. And I'm going to try to sit down here. I'm not sure, maybe standing is a little more comfortable, but we'll try. What I'd like to ask you, based on my absence last Sunday, please don't be thinking, hey, we can do pretty much okay on Sunday morning without the pastor being here. Please, no such thoughts, okay? And I pledge to you, I have no desire whatsoever for Bosque Dale Baptist Church to have Sunday morning worship services without me. I just don't. I promise. I want to be here as your pastor, preacher, each and every Sunday. Now, that is, the good Lord willing and the creek don't rise. My father used to say that. Your fathers used to say that. I always said to my father when he said that, well, Dad, if the good Lord is willing, why would the creek rise? Anyway, so I got to thinking, you know, what should I do since I missed that great and happy special day that was Mother's Day? So I think the sermon that I had prepared did have a pretty good message, about our mothers and how we are to respond to them. And so I changed the content of the sermon around from one idea, from one way of dealing with that, to the same idea from a different angle. I was encouraged to do that. And last Sunday, I was prepared to have us as God's people see what the Word of God has to say about what we all need to think about our mothers and how that should affect what we do for our mothers. And then prepare ourselves as Sunday morning was going, because it was very early, prepare ourselves to be doing that thinking of all of our relationship with our own dear mother. In other words, now that you have heard God's word on this about your mother, I was going to say, now, do it. That was last Sunday. So then this Sunday, a week later, I want to present the same concepts, except from that different angle. And now that you've heard it, is that something like what you took on yourself to do for Mom in these days following Mother's Day? Did you take on what I preached about last week? Will you keep on doing it, please? All right. You see, there are several ideas that are floating around in what is a good way to show your mother that you love and appreciate her. Flowers are always good. A box of chocolates. Maybe nice earrings or a bracelet. And of course, a special Mother's Day card. And a really nice touch would be to take her out to a nice restaurant so that she doesn't have to cook Sunday dinner and then clean up the kitchen and wash the dishes afterward. You can still do that today. It'll be all right. I mean, those are some, actually, what I've just mentioned are some of the very least things that you can do to say to Mom or to say to your wife who is a mother of your children or grandma who's filled a very motherly role for a long time with you. I said those were the least of things. Is that what I said? Well, actually, those are flowers, chocolates, jewelry, take them out to dinner. Those are really the very least. There's so much more. And God leads us to see this much more that we can do for our mothers. Well, so for the last week before last Sunday, the week before Mother's Day, I was trying to do one of those things that you're supposed to do for Mother's Day. And that was get a good greeting card, preferably Hallmark, of course. With my mother gone and Sue's mother gone, the mother I would get a card for would be Sue, of course, the wonderful mother of our children. And so being a man of great means, and besides that, being a spendthrift, I went to the Dollar Tree where you can get these cards, 2 for $1. Well, it was really a good outing because I saw this really cute Mother's Day card there, but I just couldn't make myself buy it. I just couldn't. It was a big card, and it was written on the front in little child's printing or scribbling. Also on the front, it was this little boy with messy hair and untied sneakers, and he was pulling a wagon with toys falling all out of it. And he had this little cut on his face, but it was okay because it wasn't too near the smudges of mud on the other cheek. And there were these fingerprint smudges all over the front of the card. And this little first grade printing read, "Mom, I remember that little prayer you used to say for me every day." And the inside was the mother's prayer that he remembered. "God help you if you ever do that again." Yeah, pretty funny, but I expect the truth is almost all of us get much more sentimental with the cards when it comes to our mothers. And so we should. Sentimental, deeply appreciative. And because of that, I'm going to say now it's time to turn to more seriousness about mother. And God speaks seriously about how we are to deal with our mothers. Remember now, a week later, I would have introduced all of this seriousness to you that I'm about to introduce to you, and I would have encouraged you to go forth and do these things. But what I'm doing today, from this little different perspective, is asking you, well, we'll start with that. Does what I'm going to say today reflect any of how you envisioned the honoring of your mother as you departed from this house of the Lord last Sunday? Now, hopefully you were thinking about it. Laura told me that last Sunday you used up all of the Mother's Day hymns. So we're not singing any of those today. So I hope you were kind of thinking about that. And since this was inspired by a long ago written word of God's, since I would have, but I didn't ask this of you last week, will you do something for me now? Will you pledge and vow to make this one primary statement that I'm about to introduce, make this your statement of faith about your dear mother? Will you do that? Yeah, y'all, yes, yes. I see those hands. I see those shaking heads. Okay. Well, yes, Mother's Day was last week, but our commitment to mothers is always. You see, there's a simple but very profound statement. As I say, it's a primary statement of sentiment about mothers. It's repeated over and over again in the Bible. We see it in the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament. We see it in many ways. This statement is first spoken by God in Exodus 20:12. And it's repeated in Deuteronomy 5:16. And then it's repeated for the benefit of all new generations that followed after that Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5 passage. All that have followed that statement for so many years. And the statement is, honor thy father and mother. In Matthew 15, Jesus chose to quote this commandment to the Jewish religious leaders as an example of where they were falsely honoring their rabbinical traditions rather than God's actual commandments when it turned out to be convenient for them. And Jesus was chastising them for this practice. It had to do with more than just that one commandment, but he used this commandment as an example of what they were doing. If it didn't happen that what they were going to do was an honor to their mother or to their father, they went ahead and did what they wanted to do because they had written laws that way. Well, Jesus spoke about this, and he gave this to the Jewish religious leader. He said, just like God's word says, honor your father and mother, therefore, you are violating this, and you take this to be a possibility of violating all commandments. And then Jesus' faithful apostle Paul applies this command to everyday life as he describes the proper structure and the practice of a Christian family. We read that in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's the right structure for a Christian family. And he follows this immediately by a quotation of this fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, directed to all children, directed to all of us. You see, I happen to know that I'm going to do it. I'm going to call a name. I happen to know that Mallory is no longer a child in her eyes, okay, in Bill's eyes, but she's still a child of her parents, isn't she, Norley? Yes. Yes. And so Paul deals with this as he's talking to children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Well, then also in 1 chapter of 2 Timothy, the fifth verse, Paul reminds Timothy that His genuine faith that he now followed was first seen by him in his grandmother and then also in his mother. Thus, honor your mother. And we're going to get to fathers another day, but honor your mother is the emphasis of this special day in the family of God that we observed last week, but we want to carry it on more than a day. What do you think it means to honor someone? Honor thy mother. What does it mean to honor? Well, I think if you think about this for a bit, you're going to realize that different people, even those people who believe that they follow this fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments closely, different people appear to have different concepts of what it means to honor, well, anyone, but particularly honor mother. That's at least by the actions that we see of the differing ways of honoring mothers. And so, since we have a lot of different opinion, and I'd like to approach this pretty much all the same way for a while today, may I suggest a somewhat broad but specific meaning to the concept of honor? Of honor today for your mother. Of honor for each of us, for our own mother. And so to think together on this concept, when we honor someone, mother, we evaluate her positively, as accurately and honestly as possible, and then we treat her with the respect and reverence and kindness and courtesy that this distinction of being your mother deserves. To tell you the truth, there are actually a multitude of special qualities of a mother that you can find in the Bible. And I hesitate to limit it to just a few, but perhaps for the limitation of time that we have here, we must keep it to just a few. And so this day, let us honor some of the most biblical, most profound qualities that we find in our mothers. You find these, you can't help but honor that woman. You see, I can't just say, too bad I missed speaking on this subject last week, but it's okay, I'll come back next May. And so to my dear departed mother, well-loved, to all mothers, we'll come back in May. No, today is just as good a time for this message as last week was. And of course, the commandment quoted did include honoring your father. So that's going to be coming soon. But for now, our focus is on mothers. Now, tell me if this isn't true. You hear me speaking about, and you hear me speaking for your mother exhibited in these three ways, and we honor her for each of these. Is this not true that you see her this way? There is mother's sensitive and sweet spirit. Luke speaks of that in chapter 2. We'll get to that. There is her sincere faith. 2 Timothy speak of that. And we'll get to there. And then coming out of her in so many ways, there is a mother's servant spirit. So I'd like to focus on those three qualities that we see in mothers. Our mothers do have these spirits, this sweet spirit, this sincere faith, and particularly this sincere spirit. This is nowhere exemplified more than by mother. The mother of Jesus, Mary. She was very young. She was fragile. She had been helped along so much by the love of Joseph and the concern and care of her dear relative Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. And so on a special night, she's so honored by God and his angels and by shepherds and by strangers and by the promise of the future. She's so honored by that and by giving birth and was now a real honest to goodness mother. And she took all of it in with a depth of understanding far beyond her young years. And the gospel historian Luke wrote of her, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Luke 2:19. And then Luke chapter 2 continues on and eventually comes to the time in young Jesus' life when as a youth at the age of 12, he went to Jerusalem with his family and he stayed a little too long in the temple. He's discussing religious things with the Jewish teachers and he missed the caravan home. And you know that story. Well, we don't know all of the things about the boyhood of Jesus, but this story, as he approached the transition from a boy to a man, gives us insight as to how his mother was still responding to the growing life of Jesus, pretty much the same as she had felt about him when she started out as a mother at his birth. So go all the way down in Luke 2 to verse 51, where it says, once again, "But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart." In that regard, mother, the Mary of Jesus, is not this different from almost all mothers. A mother's heart, like Mary's heart, is like a storehouse. And as you reflect here for a moment about your own mother, isn't it true that she treasured or is now continuing to treasure in her heart virtually all of the good in the past that has happened to you as her child, all of the good that's happened in her family? Now, I have to admit, I believe I'm pretty much like all fathers in this regard. Well, actually, there are some exceptions to this rule, but I expect I'm not different from most fathers. Mother remembers to the point of building a memory storehouse where she ponders and she treasures all of the good things about her children. But we fathers get so wrapped up in taking care to see that our family needs are all met, and we fathers tend to let that distract us, and we forget the treasured memories that Mom has been careful and sensitive to remember. I know how true that is. Quite frequently, Sue will say, "You remember when James was a little boy?" I say, I thought he still was. He's sitting back there in the back. I can poke him. Right? But you know, don't you remember that kind of thing? I'm a father. I don't remember things, but mothers do. It is mother's innate sensitivity that leads her to treasure her children, to observe all the good that they learn to do. That's everything. And rejoice as they move into maturity. And likewise, and this, I kind of hate to bring it up, but it's on the other hand, it is the sensitivity of a mother that causes her to grieve when her children act foolishly. Proverbs 10:1 says, "A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." She can tell when something's wrong. And according to Proverbs 29:15, the wrongdoings of a child, and I'm quoting the wisdom of Solomon here, the wrongdoings of a child bring his mother to shame. This sensitivity to things affecting a mother's child that are wrong and wrongdoing is a God-given capacity. It's a daily reality in our mother's lives as we grow up. See, maybe you thought at the time that she was being mean or harsh when mother disciplined you for wrongdoings. But no, Mom's discipline was because in her constant sensitivity of wanting you to be the best, to do the good, to influence your growth toward maturity, she disciplined to teach and to instruct you away from the bad and toward the good. Now, I hope as you think about that, that sort of clears up that nagging question that you wondered about all of your growing up days when Mom, in the midst of discipline that caused you mental and physical pain, said that famous phrase, "This hurts me more than it does you." But that's a great part of honoring our mothers, recognizing this reality of her sensitive spirit. And as we recognize this sensitivity in a mother, there's another biblical admonition. And let not the mother reject this, but rather develop it and use it to lead her children to good. Returning to Ephesians 6, immediately after instructing the children of a Christian home to honor their parents, he instructs the parents, mother and father, parents, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So let all mothers cultivate that sweet sensitivity. Guard it. Share it with her husband. And most of all, dedicate that sensitivity to God to be used by the Holy Spirit in her life. Now, a second and very deep way of honoring your mother is to honor your mother's sincere faith. This too is exemplified in Scripture. As Paul wrote to Timothy about Timothy's faith, that it was passed on to him from not one but two generations of the faith of the mothers in his life. 2 Timothy 1:5, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. This faith in several ways, well, in two of which we're going to examine, is the faith of a mother. It is the faith that a mother lives out. And for Timothy, as I'm sure it's been for many of you, it's also your mother's faith as passed on to her, lived out by her mother, your grandmother. It is mother's faith lived out in daily life and in daily attitudes. It is her faith influence for good and against evil. Yet again, we must be cautious and be aware that when this faith falters and leads a child to the evil and not to the good, we need to understand that too. Either way, the mother's influence as she lives it out greatly affects the faith development of her children. A sad illustration of evil influence from mothers found in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles 22:3. Now, I don't want to give much emphasis on this possibility of mother influencing evil, so I'll just quote this one from the ancient days of Israel, and then that you, I'm sure, are more familiar with from the New Testament. 2 Chronicles 22:3 tells of one of the minor kings of Judah. He was minor because he reigned only 1 year, and possibly only that 1 year because of the evil influence of his mother. Are you familiar with Ahaziah? You ever heard his name? He wasn't around long. But the scripture says he also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. That's why he didn't last long. Then also in the New Testament, there is the shameful story of the dancing daughter of Mother Herodias, wife of Herod the Tetrarch. Matthew 14 tells us that she's the one prompted by her mother who requested that John the Baptist be beheaded, which he then was. You see, the influence of a mother's faith for spiritual growth in her children, or the abuse of it toward the evil, either way is powerful. And we honor our mothers whose faith influence is a part of our growth toward God. Well, I said there are two ways this faith shows itself out, and is also the faith that a mother explicitly teaches. Proverbs 1:8 says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. We are divinely, through the wisdom writings of the Bible, forbidden to forsake the teachings of our mothers. This identical emphasis is repeated and strengthened in the sixth chapter of Proverbs, verse 20. If we are not to forsake her teaching when we're young, when we're when she is older. She's still your mother. And so neither are we to look with scorn upon a mother in her old age or forget her. Proverbs 23:22 says, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." There's great hope for you, Ellen. A mother is a major part of God's plan to teach her children, and we are to respect and honor our mother's place under God's sovereignty. Now, I believe I could give you a lot more, but now for a third way that we are to honor our mother is to honor a mother's servant spirit. And this is described so well in a chapter that many of you are familiar with, maybe all of you, Proverbs 31. Incidentally, you'd notice that I have made lots of references to what the book of Proverbs instructs us about honoring our mother. And of course, there's a reason for that. Most of all, if not all, of the Proverbs is attributed to the wisdom of King Solomon. Solomon wisely attributed that wisdom not to himself, but to God, who had responded by granting Solomon's request only for wisdom. So if Solomon indeed was so very wise, aren't we wise to pay attention and to pay heed to his teachings in the Proverbs? Well, Proverbs 31 is one of those classic chapters of the Bible, especially the great acrostic poem in verses 10 through 31, the description of a most godly woman, of a wife and mother. Now, the first nine verses of this chapter, you notice I started at verse 10. First nine verses of this chapter refer to what a mother has to say to King Lemuel. It'd be nice to know who that mother was, because we don't even know who King Lemuel was. It's the only time he's ever mentioned. But the advice there attributed to his mother is great advice. Read that sometime, verse 1 through 9. But the advice there attributed to his mother is a specific description of God's word given to a mother who possesses the heart of a servant. And I'm not going to read all of that 10 through 31. Just give you a little synopsis here. This is a beautiful picture of an excellent wife and an excellent mother whose worth is invaluable. Verse 10 says, her worth is far more than rubies. Her servant spirit extends to all of her family, husband and children. She delights in serving them. It says she prepares meals diligently. And then, noting that she is not a lazy person, it references that she rises long before daylight so that she might provide for the needs of her family. And she even has time to consider investments. Pretty smart woman. It's in verse 16. It says she's physically strong and cares for her health, verse 17. She is industrious, even working at night, verses 18 and 19. And then she is a servant beyond her family, to the poor and the needy, verse 20. It says she clothes herself and her family with the finest of clothes so that they are safe from bad weather. I think it mentions the snows. She assists her family needs by supplementing the family income by things that she makes and sells, verse 24. And it says, strength and dignity are her qualities. And she's able to smile at the future because she believes better days are even coming. She thinks not of herself, but speaks wisely and kindly to others. In such a wife and mother, there is no idleness. Rather, she is diligent in the ways of her household, verse 27. Verses 28 through 31, no wonder she is praised. As we continue the honoring of our mother then, let us honor her sincere and dependable servant spirit. Mothers who have qualities like those of the woman in Proverbs 31 are absolutely worthy of honor, not by the family alone, but by all of society. This may seem a tall order, But as God's desire and design, these qualities are completely possible. As the Holy Spirit is invited in and allowed the freedom to develop them in any mother's life. Yes, we are to honor our mothers as we join with these biblical challenges as they speak out to every mother and to every girl who will one day herself be a mother. And so let us, as sons and daughters, as husbands and fathers, recognize our calling to support by genuine honoring, to fulfill the responsibility that we have as the children and husbands of all mothers among us, that honoring is to be constant. That's so much more, isn't it, than that 50-cent card? Oh, or that $25 bouquet of flowers? See, my question last week, a week after Mother's Day, is that you've heard this now. Is there anything like that that you put into honoring your mother last Sunday on Mother's Day? To totally and constantly honor Mom's sweet sensitivity, her devout and teaching faith, and to honor her servant spirit. To do all of that, all the time, not just on Mother's Day, sincerely honors our God who graciously gives to each of us our own dear mother. Thank God for my own dear mother. Well, say that with me as we close. Thank God for my own dear mother. Amen.